Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Raising a Sensory Smart Child is a practical parenting and professional guide focused on sensory processing issues in children. Written by occupational therapist Lindsay Beal with Nancy Pesky, it explains how sensory integration affects behavior, attention, learning, self-care, and family life. The book is not a theoretical overview. Its purpose is to help readers recognize sensory patterns and respond with concrete supports that fit a child's needs. Across the revised and expanded edition, the emphasis is on everyday application, understanding sensory systems, identifying triggers, and using routines or accommodations that reduce distress and improve participation. It is especially relevant for parents, teachers, and therapists who need an accessible framework for children who are sensitive to noise, touch, movement, texture, or other sensory input. The book also places sensory issues in context, showing that they may appear alone or alongside autism, developmental delays, or attention challenges. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how sensory integration problems shape behavior beyond simple misbehavior. A central idea in the book is that many behaviors often labeled as resistance, distractibility, or emotional overreaction may actually reflect sensory processing difficulty. Beal and Pesky frame sensory integration as a neurological issue involving how the brain registers and organizes input from the senses. That matters because a child who is overwhelmed by sound, touch, movement, or visual input may not be able to focus on instructions, tolerate routines, or stay regulated long enough to cooperate. The book's value is that it shifts interpretation before it shifts strategy. Adults are asked to see behavior as communication about sensory load rather than as a discipline problem. Alone. This reframing is useful in both home and school settings because it changes the question from why is this child acting out to what sensory conditions are making this hard. The result is a more precise and less moralized understanding of difficult behavior. Secondly, using a sensory profile to identify patterns of seeking, avoiding, and overload. The book repeatedly emphasizes that children do not all react to sensory input in the same way. Some seek movement, pressure, or intense stimulation, while others avoid certain textures, sounds, smells, or visual clutter. A sensory profile helps families and professionals distinguish these patterns, instead of treating sensory problems as a single category. This approach is important because the same child can be sensory seeking in one area and sensory avoidant in another, which means generic solutions often fail. The book encourages observation across daily life, including dressing, eating, grooming, play, and classroom participation. That practical focus makes the concept usable rather than abstract. Instead of diagnosing from one behavior, readers learn to notice recurring triggers, preferred inputs, and signs of overload. This helps adults choose accommodations more intelligently, because support can be matched to the child's actual sensory pattern rather than to a broad label. Thirdly, sensory diet strategies as structured daily support, not one-time fixes. One of the book's best-known contributions is its explanation of the sensory diet, meaning a planned schedule of sensory activities designed to help a child stay regulated throughout the day. The term does not refer to food, but to a balanced pattern of sensory input that meets a child's neurological needs. Beal and Pesky present this as a practical tool for managing daily life, not as a cure or a rigid formula. The concept works because sensory regulation is ongoing. Children often need repeated input or breaks to prevent escalation, fatigue, or shutdown. The book connects this directly to routine activities such as movement breaks, deep pressure, brushing, dressing, and calming transitions. Its strength is specificity. Readers are shown that support can be built into ordinary life rather than added only after problems emerge. This makes the sensory diet a preventive strategy, helping children remain available for learning, family participation, and self-care. Fourthly, concrete solutions for difficult routines like grooming, eating, clothing, and sleep. The book stands out because it treats everyday routines as legitimate sensory challenges rather than minor inconveniences. Tasks such as brushing teeth, washing hair, wearing certain fabrics, eating mixed textures, or settling for sleep can become major stress points for children with sensory processing issues. Beal and Pesky provide practical reasoning for why these routines can trigger distress. They often combine multiple sensory demands at once and require tolerance of sensations the child may actively avoid. The book's contribution is not just to explain the problem, but to show how adults can adjust the process. That may include changing timing, preparation, environmental setup, or the sensory qualities of the task itself. This is useful because it turns repeated battles into design problems. Readers come away with a clearer sense that everyday self-care difficulties are often predictable sensory conflicts, and that modifying the context can be more effective than demanding compliance without support. Lastly, school advocacy, professional help, and self-advocacy as long-term supports. Beyond home strategies, the book stresses the importance of advocacy in medical and educational settings. It encourages parents to seek occupational therapy and other professional help when sensory issues interfere with functioning, while also helping them communicate concerns clearly to schools. This is significant because sensory problems often become more visible in classrooms, where noise, transitions, seating demands, and social expectations can intensify regulation difficulties. The book argues that schools can be made more sensory aware through accommodations, environmental changes, and better staff understanding. It also extends the discussion to older children and teens, emphasizing self-advocacy so they can identify what helps them and ask for it appropriately. That broadens the book's reach beyond early childhood. The focus on advocacy distinguishes it from guides that stop at symptom description. Here, the goal is durable support across settings, so the child can participate more fully at home, in school, and in the wider community. In conclusion, this book is best suited for parents, caregivers, teachers, school staff, and therapists who want a practical guide to sensory processing issues rather than a purely clinical text. It is especially useful for readers trying to understand why a child struggles with ordinary routines, classroom demands, or social environments, and for those who need realistic ways to reduce distress without overcomplicating daily life. Its main benefit is translation. It turns sensory integration concepts into concrete observations, routines, and accommodations that can be used immediately. Compared with many books in the same category, it stands out because it combines occupational therapy expertise with a parent perspective, giving it both authority and usability. It also treats sensory support as a broad, ongoing systems issue, not just a list of isolated tips. That makes it valuable for families dealing with sensory challenges alone, or alongside autism, attention issues, or developmental delays. Readers looking for a grounded, family-friendly handbook will find it especially strong on practical problem-solving and advocacy. If you would like to support Lindsay Beal, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.